From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Wow. We're going to talk about what happened with the Signal chat scandal. Is that what they're... I'm not even sure it rises to the level of scandal. I do have questions, and look, here's the deal. Somebody screwed up. A couple of things to unravel all of this, because people are making a big to-do about it, and we're going to be talking with our good buddy, a retired Army Colonel, David Giamona, in just a few moments. So first of all, this Signal system they were using was already on all of the government phones, so they've been using this for a very long time. So this is not like they're just texting super secret information from the federal government, right? So that did not happen. It was a simple mistake, but I do have a couple of questions. Number one, now you have the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, who's out there saying, the Secretary of Defense said, oh, it never happened. It never happened. And this guy is a sleazy, no account, good for nothing weasel, talking about Jeffrey Goldberg over at the Atlantic. And I don't disagree with that. As a matter of fact, Goldberg is a horrible person, just horrible human being. In this instance, though, you got to give the guy credit where credit's due. He could have leaked all of this information to the newspapers, and he didn't. He could have published it in the Atlantic, but he didn't. And I appreciate that. I can respect that. But he's still a sleazy, no account, good for nothing weasel. So I don't understand Hegseth out there, and he is now contradicting President Trump, who told NBC News, yeah, it was a mistake. It's not going to happen again. Right. It was a simple mistake. That's all. And there was nothing nefarious. They weren't being, I mean, I guess you could say they were careless. But here's the question I have. I want to know why any member of the Trump administration, has the personal contact signal information for one Jeffrey Goldberg of the Atlantic. Why would you have that individual's information? There's only one plausible explanation, and I'm not ready to go there just yet. But I'm very curious to know what that's all about. So, again, it is what it is. You know, the Democrats are calling for heads on platters and all this kind of stuff. I think it was a simple mistake. So the lesson here is stop making stupid mistakes, right? And President Trump, forgiving man, he gave Michael Waltz another shot, and I think he's going to be able to, move on from here. But if you want to have that conversation about they're putting lives in jeopardy, really, well, Hillary Clinton literally killed people. Her policies literally killed people in Benghazi. 4 Americans killed, many more injured, some of them losing their legs, their arms, because of Hillary Clinton's foreign policy screw-up. So if you want to have that conversation, let's have that conversation. But when it comes to this signal group thing, let me say this, to borrow a phrase from Mrs. Bill Clinton, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? All right, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Dieter, I loathe to admit what I'm about to share with you and the audience.
Oh, no.
And I'm only saying this because I got a text message and they said, why does Todd sound like Barry White last night? What was going on during the national show? Your voice is so deep. You're Googling Barry White, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm learning some things. Yeah, it is. It sounds like you went through your puberty, maybe at 50, which you already have. Maybe you're going through it again. Does that
you
happen?
You are so knee deep in it right now, my friend.
I don't know.
You just back on up.
Puberty in reverse. It is very low.
I'm sick. I cannot believe it. Yes,
get me out of this studio.
No, I'm not contagious sick. I'm sick. I think it's
you're sick of what? Sick of some things. You're acting.
I'm waiting for the diagnosis from the doctor. I'm getting a text sometime in the show today to tell me if I've got pneumonia. And I've had it for a couple
pneumonia?
Of days.
Pneumonia?
Yes, I just hate
you
going to the doctor.
You told me you had an allergy.
It was the azalea bushes. I blame everything on the azaleas.
Is it pollen or pneumonia or whatever
pneumonia.
It is? Okay.
It's not, not the pollen. It's the silent killer.
Oh.
All that to say, ladies and gentlemen, you know, people, they like Barry White, but, you know, this is not that kind of a show. But just in case you're wondering, oh, baby, my baby. Just in case you're wondering why Todd Stearns' voice has just hit the low register, So, by the way, any home remedies will be greatly appreciated. But I'm telling you, it's mercy. It's been a chore. So we will. I just wanted to pass that information along to you.
Grok just told me pneumonia is contagious.
No, it is not contagious.
Yes, it is.
It's not contagious.
It says if someone sneezes, coughs, or even talks, and you're talking right now.
Yeah, I'm not talking
so I'm
at
need,
you.
I'm going to need my hazmat suit from COVID.
Oh, Lord.
Get me in my mask, my N95. Wipe down this studio with disinfectants.
Speaking of ghetto, can we... changing the subject here. Can we talk for a minute about Pam Bondi? This is absolutely insane. I meant Jasmine Crockett. You see, I really am not well today.
It's okay. You get the pneumonia pass.
So Jasmine Crockett and Pam Bondi are going at it like cats and dogs. But before we get to that, I got to talk to you about what Jasmine...
You said, let's talk about ghetto, Pam Bondi. I wouldn't... Of all the ghetto lawmakers, Pam Bondi isn't fitting that bill.
Can we just back up and start the show over again? Yeah. Can we do that? Is that possible? Ladies and gentlemen, just forget everything you've just heard.
It's only 11:13, 12:13.
I'm healthy as a horse. let's talk about Jasmine Crockett. And then we'll talk about Jasmine Crockett and Pam Bondi. So Jasmine Crockett was speaking at the Human Rights Campaign event in Los Angeles. And first of all, the Human Rights Campaign, if you're not familiar with the Human Rights Campaign, these are very awful human beings. They hate you. If you are a person of the Christian faith, they especially hate you. Now, the Human Rights Campaign is a radical LGBT organization, and they hate Christians. They especially hate yours truly. Joe Biden, when he was president, he spoke to this group and called all of you Christians out there in front of this mob of people. And this is like the Subaru drivers. You got the soy boy snowflakes. You got the purple haired people, all of them. It was like the bar scene in Star Wars. And Joe Biden gets up there and talks about all of you Trump supporters and Christians and conservatives calling you the dregs of society. So anyway, this is all that to say, these are very horrible people. And quite frankly, with their attacks on the Christian faith, they ought to be considered a domestic hate group. But that's just me. So anyway, Jasmine Crockett, who has been very well educated, the woman has attended some of the most expensive schools in America. And yet she acts like she's starring in a Tyler Perry movie. Have you noticed this? Maybe it's just me. So anyway, she was out there over the at this Human Rights Campaign event. And here's what she had to say about the governor of Texas. Cut number 6.
And because we in these hot ass Texas streets, honey. Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now. And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot ass mess, honey. So yes.
So she's talking about the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, a Republican. And Governor Abbott is in a wheelchair, confined to a wheelchair. When he was in law school, if you haven't heard the story, he was taking a break from his studies. He decided to go out on a jog. And as he was jogging, a giant oak tree split and fell on him and severed his spine. So he is paralyzed from the waist down. And it's, I mean, it's a horrible tragedy, but it's also an incredible story of perseverance that the governor, in spite of his horrifying injuries, picked himself up by the bootstraps and became the governor of the state of Texas. It's an incredible story. And yet for Jasmine Crockett to go out there and to mock a man, calling him Governor Hot Wheels, what kind of a human being does that? What kind of a person thinks like that? This is just a monster of a woman. And I don't know what happened to her. I don't know what triggered her, but she's nothing more than just a race agitator. Now, a lot of people are going to be upset with this, with the use of this word, but I am a wordsmith. I love words and I love the meanings of words. And I want to share with you a word that I think befits the behavior of this congresswoman: trifling. Trifling. She is an unimportant person, this woman. And it's of her own doing. How dare you say that word? Who do you think you are? That's a horrible thing to say. You got to look at the definition. Trifling means unimportant. And this woman is making herself unimportant. It's a shameful thing that's happening here with Jasmine Crockett. The woman needs to be censured. The woman needs to be removed from the Congress. Quite frankly, I believe her behavior, and especially what she had to say about Ted Cruz and Tesla drivers, I believe is worthy of expulsion from the Congress. Cut number five.
She is promoting violence. And then you showed the clip of what she said about Senator Cruz. I believe she probably will be censured by Congress for saying that. You know, people don't learn. She's using her public persona, her public platform, to increase her followers, to increase her significance, and she is threatening lives, safety. You know, when she did this at Tesla, Sean, people's lives are in danger. This is America. We're in a free country. And she's yet encouraging this violence in our country. Think of all the lives that could have been jeopardized in Texas just today by her words and what she's done. But she didn't stop with that. She continued on with Senator Cruz. She has to apologize immediately and denounce the violence.
Okay, well, a couple of things about Pam Bondi. First of all, I don't think it's the place of the Attorney General to demand people apologize, or the place of the Attorney General to write a strongly worded letter to the Congresswoman. If laws have been broken here, if in fact Jasmine Crockett, which according to U.S. federal law, Jasmine Crockett has violated, then it is up to the Attorney General to prosecute that. So I'm not sure why we're so concerned about writing a strongly worded letter or demanding an apology. So my question is this. I mean, and again, she was calling for Ted Cruz to be hit hard. Hit hard. That's what Jasmine Crockett said. So my question is, we go to break, should Jasmine Crockett be removed from the House of Representatives? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Are you tired of destructive content flooding your screens? Well, I know I was, and that's why I joined the Angel Guild community. I wanted entertainment that inspires and uplifts, not drags us down. And with Angel Guild, I can vote on upcoming films and support movies that reflect values that I align with. Plus, I get early access to inspiring content. I no longer have Hollywood Entertainment pushing its agenda into my home. Angel Studios is leading the charge, creating high-quality, faith-filled films like Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and my favorite, Homestead. Great movie, great series, by the way. These movies are powerful, impactful, and a must-see if you haven't already. If you want to make a real difference, where we put our dollars shapes the future of entertainment. So let's support content that amplifies light and protects our kids from harmful influences. Please join me in making a difference today. Visit angel.com/Starnes. That's angel.com/Starnes to join the Angel Guild now. All right, again, welcome back to the Todd Stern's radio program. So very happy to have you with us, and we're going to be dipping into a lot of the hearings today. By the way, our good friend, Governor Mike Huckabee, is going through the confirmation process to be our next ambassador to Israel, one of the finest people I know. That is going to be a terrific, terrific pick for the Trump administration. Also, the hearings this morning on this crazy signal thread between Hegseth and Marco Rubio and National Security Advisor Michael Waltz, that's going on. Democrats are trying to make something of this, but honestly, I don't see this as a big deal. As a matter of fact, this is something that's been in place as a means of communication for a very long time now. Here's Senator Tom Cotton pointing out that even the Biden administration used Signal, Cut 4.
I bet a bunch of those senators that you see at the hearing today are using Signal as well to each other or to speak to their aides. And it is my understanding that the Biden administration authorized Signal as a means of communication that was consistent with presidential record-keeping requirements for its administration, and that continued into the Trump administration. It's simply another messaging app like the iMessage app on your iPhone or email servers that every administration has set up in which senior administration officials can communicate with each other.
Yeah, so again, was a mistake made? Yeah, absolutely. The administration's been pretty straightforward about it all, except for the defense secretary. But yeah, what you say, Tom, wait a second. What are you talking about? What do you mean? All right, well, here's what Pete Hegseth had to say about all of this. Cut number 12.
Can you share how your information about war plans against the Houthis in Yemen was shared with a journalist in The Atlantic? And were those details classified?
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is the guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does. I would love to comment on the Houthi campaign because of the skill and courage of our troops. I've monitored it very closely from the beginning. And you see, we've been managing 4 years of deferred maintenance under the Trump administration. Our troops, our sailors were getting shot at as targets. Our ships couldn't sail through. And when they did shoot back, it was purely defensively or at shacks in Yemen. President Trump said, no more. We will reestablish deterrence. We will open freedom of navigation. And we will ultimately decimate the Houthis, which is exactly what we're doing as we speak from the beginning, overwhelmingly.
Why were those details shared on Signal, and how did you learn that a journalist was privy to the targets, the types of weapons used, and
I've heard I was characterized, nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that.
All right. Well, there you go. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. You think this is a big deal? We can talk through it. 901-260-5926. Again, I don't think it's going to be that big of a story. They're trying to make this into some sort of a Watergate. That's just simply not what this was at all. Folks, I've got to tell you, we are making some headway. This is the final week of our effort to raise money for our friends at Food for the Poor. We are feeding hungry children all this month on the Todd Stearns radio program, and we need your help. We need your help to reach our goal. And I want you to go right away to ToddStearns.com. Do that in the break and click on our blue banner at the very top of the page. You'll be able to donate $100 free feeds a child for an entire year. We need your help, ladies and gentlemen. Food for the Poor, they don't get a single penny from the government. It is all based on Christian charity, and that's why we're very honored to help them out. Go to ToddStearns.com. Click on that blue banner. We're going to be reading names a little bit later on in the program. A generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. Join me, Todd Stearns, in saving lives with Food for the Poor. When you click the Feed Their Future banner at ToddStearns.com, your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. Call 855-353-4673 and make your most generous gift. The nutrition these children get in school is often their only meal of the day. Food for the Poor School Nutrition Program effectively addresses malnutrition and increases children's school attendance. Your donation will also support local farmers who produce the nutritional supplements that are needed to improve children's nutrition in El Salvador. Your gift will allow them to focus on learning rather than worrying about their next meal. Today, you have the power to feed a child or an entire classroom for a year. Click the blue banner at toddstearns.com or call 855-353-4673 with a gift of $100 to feed their future. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Johnny in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Johnny, what's on your mind today?
The nerve of Pam Bondo face to criticize Jasmine Crockett when her boss is the leader of mocking people and saying bad things about people. And you, of anybody, call for a civil war. Jasmine Crockett done forgot more about law than Pam Bondo face will ever know.
Why do you call her? I'm just curious. Why do you call her Pam Bondo face? She's a very attractive woman.
Look like she got a pile of Bondo on her face. But yeah, you know why she won't prosecute her?
Well, I'm still trying to work because she has Bondo on her face.
Do you know anything about Bondo? That's what you use when you are filling in cracks on car bodies. But anyway, Jasmine Crockett has forgot more about love.
No, that's not very
Pam
polite.
Than Pam Bondo face will ever know. And what idiots do we have running the White House? Them three idiots up there. That chat line is for regular, normal, everyday people. And they know that. And
no, actually, it's not, Johnny. But hold on. I want to go back to Pam Bondi and Jasmine Crockett. You brought up Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett's out there calling the governor of Texas, Governor Hot Wheels, mocking a man in a wheelchair. Are you okay with Jasmine Crockett doing that?
President Trump?
No. I'm talking about Jasmine Crockett.
Oh, she didn't mean that. She didn't mean it.
All right. Dylan, can we go back?
She just being Jasmine.
Oh, just Crockett. Being Jasmine.
She don't really mean that. Jasmine from the hood.
Jasmine from the streets.
That's what you say about Trump.
Jasmine from the hood of Rhodes College. Jasmine Crockett. You know, she's pretending to be, she's cosplaying. She's pretending to be ghetto. She's pretending to be from the streets, the hood, when in fact she was educated in incredibly wealthy schools.
Oh, you're jealous.
I'm not jealous. Maybe I wish I had those eyelashes. Those are popping eyelashes.
You know what? You all go insane.
Like one of those woolly caterpillars.
With education. That just drives y'all insane, though.
Hold on just a second, Johnny. That's a good point you raise. Here's the thing. When you go back and watch older videos of Jasmine Crockett, she's very well-spoken and as polite as could be. So if that's if that's what happened to her at Rhodes College, she came out talking like she was in a Tyler Perry movie. I think if I were her parents, I'd be concerned.
You got to get straight to the point and hit y'all where it hurts, and that's with knowledge. You can't stand that.
Oh, you think that's knowledge?
Yes, that's knowledge. She got more knowledge than you.
Okay. All right, well, let's go back and listen, Johnny. Let's go back and listen to some of that knowledge in action. Cut number six, please.
And because we in these hot ass Texas streets, honey.
Hot ass.
Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now. And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot ass mess, honey.
Johnny, is that the knowledge that you speak of?
She's not that Tiger Woods type, the fake type.
She's not that type.
She's a real black woman. And that's what you get from real black people, not them conservative black maggots that try to pretend to be.
Okay. And that's where I'm going to stop you here, Johnny. I'm not going to let you call black Trump supporters maggots. We don't do that on this program. And you know better than that. Look, here's the deal. Jasmine Crockett can behave however she wants to behave, but she's a phony and she's a fraud and she's not authentic. That's my issue. And the same thing applies to people like, for example, Mitt Romney coming down south and pretending to be Southern and liking grits when we know he doesn't like grits. She's doing the same nonsense and it's unacceptable. And it's an embarrassment, and she ought to be embarrassed, and her family ought to be embarrassed. Johnny, gotta go. Good call, though. We're not going to sit here and let people call black Trump supporters maggots on this program. We don't do that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Ben, I don't understand this. Why was he calling her Pam Bondo?
So I actually had to look it up because I'm not a mechanic. What is Bondo? It is putty that he's used to repair dents.
She's a very attractive woman.
Holes and damages on vehicles, wood, and other materials. It is quick drying, permanent, and a non-shrinking filler. Oh. Well, a lot of these women do have fillers, but I don't know that it's Bondo.
Well, all I can say is that Pam Bondi is a very attractive woman. Has she been an effective attorney general? That remains to be seen. But I will say this. Some days I don't know if she's a co-host on Fox News Channel or she's the attorney general.
She does do a lot of media, doesn't she?
She does. Specifically, no, she does only a lot of Fox media.
Specifically only on one channel.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Todd, question. Where are the Epstein files?
We have yet to have those released. And how dare you ask?
I'm sorry.
What are you, a closet Democrat?
Yep. Take away my credentials as a conservative.
This is what I love about what we do here, folks. We don't work off talking points, and I think that triggers everybody on the left and the right.
Yeah, I just think that it's so crazy how they just memory hold that. And if I was like a primetime host at Fox News and she's coming on and you have to confirm topics with her team, and last night she's on to talk about what Tesla and also Jasmine Crockett, you just throw in a curveball. What about those Epstein files? Just real quick.
What about the JFK files? the administration told us bombshells. Okay. Where are the bombshells? I'm just saying, don't hype up something, right? Just tell us if you're going to do something, do it. That's all we're asking here. You don't have to hype anything up. That's all. That's all I'm saying. By the way, Jasmine Crockett, I'm going to send a strongly worded letter. We demand an apology. Well, what if she says no? What if she says, I'm not going to apologize? You're going to throw her in jail? Is that a crime?
I mean, the way she's talking, and I mean, obviously, I disagree with Jasmine Crockett, but Pam Bondi is being tougher and more fierce and severe on this sitting member of Congress than she was with the prosecutor's office in the Southern District of New York, which are still holding on to the FBI files and all of the Epstein files and all of the CIA documents. Get tough on those people and do it ASAP, because I want that dump of Epstein files and the, you know.
But I mean, I agree with everything she is saying, and Pam Bondi is saying all the right things. I'm just wondering what she is doing. That's the question I have here. What is she doing? All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I've got to share this with you. We get gifts and cards in the mail a lot, and we love it. We love hearing from our great listeners. And I got a box in the mail. And, you know, I've been dealing with just a couple of minor things, but I did have a major issue with my eye, mm-hmm. which has been resolved. And I'm very thankful for the eye doctors and the great eye surgeons here in the Memphis area. They've done a terrific job. But for the longest time, I really wasn't able to see much mm-hmm. at all. I was pretty much blind. It was terrible. And so, but now things are back to normal. That being said, I received one of the kindest gifts I've ever gotten. And it's from Jim and Christine, and they listen to us in, what, St. Louis?
Yes, that area.
St. Louis, and the Real Talk Radio, and our great brand-new radio affiliate in the St. Louis area, and just some of the kindest people, and they sent me this. It is a super large print edition of the Bible. so I can read the Bible.
So thoughtful.
This thing is huge.
It's bigger than what I would imagine the Ten Commandments were. Font size 172.
This is super giant. It's not the large, you know, the large version, right? This is super giant print.
Yeah.
I could read this on the teleprompter.
You know, when you go to the eye doctor, Todd, and there's the big letter E at the very top, it's basically that font.
I love this.
Yeah, you know, and I actually talked to the kind lady that gave this Bible to you, Todd. And this is a ministry, and they don't want anybody obviously knowing what they're doing. They just work behind the scenes, and they aren't, you know, in front of the cameras. But they have a ministry, Todd, and they get those Bibles to different people in retirement facilities, people that may struggle with their eyes. Now, I'm not saying that's you, Todd. You're a young whippersnapper, but you have, you know, you have had some issues with eyesight and reading, and a lot of people, the Bible font is like size 12. So they actually give these to different folks in retirement facilities so they can have a copy of God's Word and a copy that they can read.
What a wonderful, wonderful thing this couple is doing. They're in the St. Louis area. They wrote me a note, and I'll just kind of glance through this. Dear Mr. Stearns, enclosed is a super giant print Bible for you. You had mentioned on a radio broadcast that you had an eye problem, which has been healed, which I'm very excited to say. My husband and I buy Bibles, and then we give them all away. This is our calling on this earth as we work for God's kingdom. And I am so moved by this. This is such a precious and very kind thing. And I just want to thank them so very much for this. And it is so thoughtful.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very generous. You know, I will say I'm new to this show. I mean, I've obviously worked with Todd for a while, but now I work closely, you know, on the show and working to get guests and whatnot. And I've been able to interact with a lot of our listeners, and they are so incredibly generous. I mean, from sending you food to biscuits to recipes to even large font sizes of the Bible, they're just the best. They're the very generous, most generous people out there.
You know, and that's, yeah, they are. And it's just, it really touches my heart, and I really appreciate it. You know, we get a lot of hate mail here, and it's always nice when we get a kind word or someone like the Jim and Christine. They're so kind, and they send us this incredibly precious gift. Thank you so much. All right. We have got to take a quick break here, folks. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. We mentioned generosity, and the final days of our campaign to feed hungry children in El Salvador is wrapping up. We're getting close. We're getting close to our goal, but we need your help today. And you can do that by going right now to ToddStearns.com and clicking on the Food for the Poor banner at the very top of the page. Again, that is Food for the Poor banner at the very top of the page, and you'll be able to make a donation. $100 feeds one child for an entire year. Now, you can also call them at 855-353-4673. That's 855-353-4673. I do this once a year, and this is the final days of our campaign. Thank you all so very much, those of you who have contributed. But again, we're a bit far from our goal, but we know that you'll be able to help us out by going again to ToddStearns.com and clicking on that Give banner. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheets, $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, so President Trump now coming out and saying that it was someone on Michael Waltz's team, one of his staffers, who added Jeffrey Goldberg to the exchange, the call on Signal. The president says again that nothing, the president says that there was nothing classified that was being discussed in this text chain with Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State. Trump telling NBC News in a phone interview, it was one of Michael's people on the phone. A staffer had his number on there. Okay, so again, the Atlantic is sort of the go-to place for the deep state. And these people, that publication is so incredibly vile. So incredibly vile. They hate Donald Trump. And I am still puzzled by why anybody has Jeffrey Goldberg's cell phone information or Signal information and why that information was being used. And it seems to me that we ought to be hunting down some sort of a mole right now. Goldberg published an article on Monday detailing how he was added to the Signal group chat on March 11th, and it was dubbed the Houthi PC small group. And it included Hegseth, CIA Director John Ratliff. You had White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Vice President J.D. Vance, and others. And a lot of people are saying, okay, well, what the heck is Signal? Well, it is something that is used all over Washington. It's an encrypted messaging app. And it operates basically like texting or making phone calls, but they have additional security measures that ensure the communications are kept private. So, again, this is not a big deal here. The idea, and you're hearing the Democrats literally calling for Hegseth to be fired and Michael Waltz to be fired. This is all meant to turn cabinet members against each other. Was a mistake made? Absolutely. And I'm pretty certain that it's not going to happen again. But here's the thing. We hold the Republicans to a higher standard, but the Democrats, they don't even hold their own people to those standards. Keep in mind that Hillary Clinton's security flaws and failures led to people literally losing their lives, to people literally being killed. That's what's going on here. And you've got people like Seth Moulton out there saying, well, this sort of incompetence is so severe it could have gotten Americans killed. Hegseth is in so far over his head that he is a danger to his country and our men and women in uniform. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that Pete Hegseth is up for the job here? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. If nothing else, there's going to be a lot of yelling and the hearings and all this kind of stuff. And I've got no problem with that. I really don't. But at the end of the day, folks, this is a great big nothing burger. Now, again, I don't work off of anybody's talking points. And that normally means somebody on the left, well, normally everybody on the left hates me. And there are a lot of people on the right that do, because I'm not toting anybody's water. When we invite guests onto this program, it's not for our stature. It's because we want to get information from them. We have questions to ask, and I don't work off of talking points. Let's just say, for example, you've got somebody from the White House, and they want to come on this program, and we say, great, we want to talk about the Signal group chat, and they say, no, we're not going to talk about that, then we will not have that person on the show. because that's insulting to you, our great audience. I mean, we have a very large, very powerful, very influential audience, which is why Ben Dieter, who is the gatekeeper of the show, he's the executive producer, and he's the one who decides who gets to come on and who does not. So, and we have a lot of people wanting to come on this program. But the reality is that we're not an extension of the White House. That's just not how we operate. And sometimes the Trump administration will do things we disagree with, and that's okay. You know, that's okay, because about 99% of the time, I am right there with President Trump. And again, with this issue, folks, if it was a big issue, I would tell you. I'm not seeing the scandal here. I'm really not. A mistake? Absolutely. Will it be corrected? No doubt about it. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. Hour two of the Todd Stern Show coming up next.
My hospital stay would have cost $25,000, but with VA healthcare, it's free.
My education would have cost $42,000, but with VA benefits, my books, tuition, and housing are all covered.
The down payment for my home would have been $74,000, but with my VA home loan, my down payment was zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Our website is toddstearns.com. We have a lot of great content for you to check out over at the website today. Before we go to our guest, I want to go to the phone lines. Jim in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Jim, good to have you with us. I know you've got a skedaddle, but what is on your mind, sir?
Well, first of all, I wanted to commend you for how you handled that discussion at the first hour. And the thing that occurred to me is I'm not quite old enough to have remembered this, but I know that it happened. During World War II, there used to be a slogan, and it was meant for the entire population, and it was "loose lips sink ships." And it had to do with people being careless with information that they had, and to not just blurt out everything just because they knew it. And this reporter, Mr. Goldberg, I think he needs to be investigated and perhaps even prosecuted for what he did. Your referencing the Benghazi attacks and Hillary Clinton's behavior was perfectly appropriate. I was a reserve chaplain in the military for years, and I can't tell you how many funerals I've done and flag-draped coffins I've stood by. And I remember how Hillary Clinton, with the families at Dover Air Force Base, when they flew back the coffins, had the temerity and the nerve to look at family members and say, "We're going to get the people who made that terrible video," and lied to them. And so this man, to sit on this story and then break it right now, clearly for political battle purposes, is despicable. Something happened, big mistake, needs to be corrected. I agree, but this man needs to be held responsible.
Yeah, it's very puzzling about the timing of it, Jim, and I think we're gonna get into that with our next guest coming up. And Jim, you're right. That slogan from World War II era, it was used on a lot of the propaganda posters that were put up all over the nation and on military bases, reminding people to keep your mouth shut. Basically, that was it. Loose lips sink ships, and that is absolutely right. Jim, thank you for that call, and I do want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, our retired Colonel David Giamona. Colonel, good to have you with us today.
Todd, it's always a pleasure to be with you on your show.
Well, wow, this is a head-scratcher. It just seems to me it's a big deal, but it's not a big, big deal, and it certainly, I don't think, rises to the level of scandal. But what do you make of the controversy surrounding this chat that was held on this encrypted app?
Yeah, I mean, this is the wave of what's going on now in the future. I mean, there's a lot of encrypted chats that our military uses. And to call for the resignation of Hegseth, is that the best the Democrats can come up with? Okay? It was an error. No one died. The Houthis got nailed and everything's fine. And Trump even came out and said, yeah, it was a mistake. He shouldn't have been on the group chat. And, you know, all is well. But here's the real crux of the problem. The Democrats have nothing better than to point fingers and say, oh, this is a problem, that's a problem. For the last 4 years, they came up with nothing but problems and no national security, no way forward. And I'm sure Pete Hegseth, who I admire a great deal, is going to fix some of these things in the new administration. This shouldn't have happened, of course, all right? But to have this journalist, who is also a controversial figure, has come up with all kinds of innuendos and lies in the years past, to me, honestly, Todd, this is a nothing burger, but that's all they have right now. They have no leadership. They have no way forward. They have nothing to do but to point and do accusations to get something. And then in the long run, that we're going to fix, and nothing came of it. That's my gist of it at this point.
Yeah, I'm still curious as to how Goldberg's address, or how are they connect with these things. Do you know how the signal, how that works?
Yeah, I have been on Signal before, and there is encrypted. It's interesting to know that this guy was on that channel, probably from a previous, maybe even the previous administration, but he was on that group chat for some reason. And the complexities of things are so, hard to detect sometimes. You don't know, what the details are sometimes. But he should not have been on that text. How he got on there is a mystery right now. Why would they have anybody, unless it was from the previous administration? But I can't imagine Pete Hegseth using stuff from a previous administration unless they're using Signal that was given to him, the chat group, was set up by some of his staffers, and they made a terrible mistake. That's the only thing I can come up with at this point.
I mean, one of the early, I think yesterday or last night, somebody was pointing out that the initials were similar to somebody else that was meant to be on the chat, and instead they have added Goldberg. Okay, fine, that's great, but still, what was Goldberg's address or name? What was that still doing in the system? That's what I don't get. I mean, this guy is radical leftist.
Yeah, this is a head-scratcher for sure. Was it subversive? Well, we'll find out. I'm sure that the Department of Defense is going to do a full-blown investigation, if not already. And these Democrats that are pointing the fingers and say that he should resign, that's just a bunch of political garbage.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean, there's...
No, I think Hegseth and the group, we have some of the best... I mean, Elon Musk is right. We have some of the best cabinet members we've had, maybe since Washington, that was president of the United States. We have a really good group of people that have their heads screwed on straight, and they're doing good stuff, but there's always those critics out there that are going to look at the, minutiae to find out what's going on.
Yeah, David Giamona, everybody, retired U.S. colonel, Army colonel, author, speaker, and is in the know here. And David, when you look at the efforts that that Pete Hegseth has already advanced, talking about physical fitness and making sure that our military is actually able to fight these wars. I'm just curious, in your circles of influence, what are you hearing about the work of the new defense secretary?
Yeah, I'm hearing really good things. A lot of the people I know, of course, are conservatives. I've talked to some high-level people recently. They're very excited. For the first time in 4 years, we have a clear national security policy. We have a clear way ahead. The president has made it very clear, if the Houthis attack, this is what we're going to do. We had no such policy behind us. And when I was on active duty, I went around the entire country and around the world and made sure that, the commanders were teaching and training the right things, because they had a lot of stuff on their plate. We need to remove all that stuff and get back in to the war fighting business. And that's what Pete Hegseth's all about. And I commend him 100%.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And again, I think mistakes are always going to be made in the early days of any administration. And we are in the early days of this administration. President Trump, by the way, coming out earlier today, telling NBC News in a phone call that Goldberg's name was actually put on the thread by a staffer of National Security Chief Michael Waltz. So again, we're getting some detail into what happened. And to your point, they'll do an investigation, and they're going to take, you know, whatever kind of protocols they need to take to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and I can hear the left. I've already saw some reports from the left saying, oh, now they're doing national security meetings on texting instead of in a secure room. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got news for all of you out there in the left. That's how we do business in the Army worldwide. We don't all meet in a single room, you know, with our heads down in the dark. You know, these people are very busy individuals, and so they have to have secure text. It works all the time. We just have the right protocols in place to make sure it doesn't happen again.
And my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but this has been in place for quite some time. So this isn't something they just decided to do when Trump was inaugurated. The signal system has been in place.
Absolutely, Todd. Yeah, this has been in place a long time. And they also have video internet secure calls. I've been on numerous of them for years. So this is not something that Pete Hegseth embedded overnight. This is how we do business worldwide in the modern military.
I wonder if we're still, and again, investigation, they got to do that. But I'm wondering if we are still dealing with deep state actors that are bureaucrats within the Defense Department that are trying to cause problems here.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. You're not going to get rid of all the deep state actors. It's like going into a home, you exterminate the cockroaches. There's still going to be some alive and scurrying around. That's what Trump is up against. But they've done a good job to root out many of them, and now these activist judges as well. Congress is going to be talking about this week and enact a bill so the president can be the president and these judicial officials, you know, make sure they're properly in their place and not out trying to be the president of the United States.
All right, good stuff. Well, David, we're going to leave it there. It's a little confusing for folks who may not be in the know and in the military, but I think you've really helped explain it to us and break down what's really going on here. But again, bottom line, a big nothing burger.
Absolutely.
All right. David, good. By the way, where can folks go if they want to get more information about you and your awesome books you've written?
Well, they can go to www.davidgiamona.com. They can get my books on Amazon. We just got a new one out last year, Your Mission in God's Army, which I'm going to be talking about in Korea in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on Amazon and on our website. They can get a lot of information there.
All right. The great David Giamona, everybody. And again, David Giamona, davidjgiamona.com. We'll post a link to the website up on our page as well. David, thank you again.
God bless.
All right. There you go. So we just tell it like it is, folks. Again, a great big nothing burger. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Oh, wow. I just had a flashback. Now, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, born in 67, and got to really experience the best of two decades. You've got the 70s and you got the 80s. Some of the most incredible music that ever originated. It came about during those eras. Gen Xer. I'm a proud Gen Xer. And I'm just curious in our Gen X audience, and maybe moms and dads still do this. And Dieter, we'll bring you into the, because you're a Gen. Are you a Gen Zer? Is that your official moniker? Yeah. Dieter's Gen Zer. You're not a Gen Xer. You're a Gen Zer.
What's a Gen Xer?
A Gen Xer is my age group.
I'm not you.
No. You're a little munchkin.
I'm a Z.
All right, so you're Gen Z. So when I was a kid, we would not go to the barber, right?
Why not?
When I was a kid, no, the barber was your mom.
Really?
And what she would do, and I don't know if anybody else, this may have just been me, and so if it is, this is going to be a weird story now. But she would take us out in the backyard, and there would be a chair, and she would have a Tupperware bowl. And she would put that Tupperware bowl on my head, and she would just...
A Tupperware bowl?
A Tupperware bowl. Yeah, it was like a bowl and Tupperware, plastic. And then she would put that on, and then anything, all the hair that was still like sticking out from the Tupperware bowl, she would chop that off. And they used to call that a bowl cut.
Wait, that's where it stems from?
That's where it stems from.
No way.
Yeah. And so all the kids, I mean, and look, but then, of course, if your dads were involved.
Those are so ugly. Bowl cuts?
Man, that was the jam back in the 70s.
You're joking me.
No.
You had no sideburns? Everything's shaved.
Yeah,
you just have a mop on top.
Well, you're lucky. I mean, we were the lucky kids because if your dad was, in charge of the haircuts, then you got the buzz cut. I mean, it looked like you were ready for the military.
Do you know that? My punishment growing up, because I did not respond to spankings. We've talked about this. I was always a very proud kid, and my pride came from my hair. I was Samson.
So you're white, but you have a fro.
I have an afro. For those, yeah, I do have an afro.
You can't call it an afro, though. It's a wife. It's a fro. A wife fro.
I look like, yeah, I just a lot of curls on my head. My dad would threaten me with a haircut.
Oh.
And I would obey immediately. Instead of timeout, instead of spankings, I got haircuts. And I would do whatever they needed me to do. They just had to threaten, we're going to shave your hair.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
give you a haircut.
So, when you get older, then you could go and maybe go to the barbershop. So when I became a teenager, we go to the barbershop, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you're like one of the cool kids, you went down to the hairstylist. And then when I was at Fox, I mean, just fast forward, I'm going through the decades here. I always had my hair cut by one of the makeup artists at Fox News. So they were just happy to do it and slip them a few bucks under the table there and be done with it. But one day the person who cut the hair, she left Fox. I thought, dadgummit, I'm going to have to go and get my hair cut. So there's a place around the corner from Fox News. It's on 6th Avenue. And I walk in there and I'm like, hey, I just need a no frills haircut. And they're like, no problem. So they send me back and they wash your hair.
And they give you a massage.
Well, the next thing you know, somebody is like touching my shoulders. And I just don't like to be touched, right? That's just a thing. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I look up, you're laying there, and I look up and there's somebody giving me a massage. Asking me if I want a shot of whiskey. Like, what kind of a joint is this? I guess a lot's changed since the old days.
Did you enjoy it? Did you go back? Did you want an extended massage?
I said, no, I'm a Baptist. I don't do massages. But, sir, you're so tense and tight. Yes, I'm a Baptist. That's the way we're supposed to be. That's the way God made us. Would you like some whiskey? No, I'm a Baptist. You know, I'm really rethinking my denominational choices in life.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to put that out there for you.
I'm a non-denomer at whatever that is. Yeah. And they give me beer every time I go. Now, granted, your haircut's at least
church?
$60. No, when I get my haircut.
Oh, when your haircut.
Yeah,
my apologies.
They'll give you alcohol. It's wild. They'll give you shots.
I went into this one place in Brooklyn. Wow, I don't know why. We're going to get to the story here in just a moment. When I was living in Brooklyn, New York, among the indigenous liberal population, they had a lot of those hairs, those like barber shops, and one of them I thought was like a guy's, you know, one of those guy shops where you go in and they have the whiskey and, you know, it's a guy's place. So yeah. I walk in, it's called the Badlands.
The Badlands?
The Badlands.
Wow.
So I walk in there and thinking it was like a biker bar kind of, but it turned out to be a lesbian biker bar. Honest to goodness, never seen anything like it. All right, all that to say, I have a story for you about gender nonconforming haircuts. We're going to get to that after the break. 901-260-5926. Am I the only person in America who got the bowl cut? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Sorry, the clock got a little out of control in the last segment there. So I want to finish this story about haircuts. And you say, why in the world is Stearns talking about bowl cuts back in the 1970s? I'm saying that because from Arkansas, there is new information. A bill has been introduced targeting barbers in the state and hairdressers in the state of Arkansas. So Republican lawmakers introducing a bill that would allow lawsuits against anyone who facilitates a minor's social transition. So let's just say, for example, that you have a child and your child, you have a daughter, and your daughter comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I feel like a boy. I feel like I'm a boy. And so your daughter goes to a barber shop and gets a hairstyle that would be similar to what a little boy would wear, then that barber could get in trouble. It is called the Vulnerable Youth Protection Act, introduced by Republican Reps Mary Bentley and Alan Clark. If passed, the legislation would allow parents to sue anyone who supports a minor's gender transition. The statute of limitations lasting 15 years. And I did not realize this, but Arkansas has actually been leading the legislative efforts restricting transgender rights, as Newsweek is reporting it. In 2021, they became the first state to ban gender-affirming, this is medical mutilation surgery. I'm having to read through the leftist propaganda here. Since 2023, more than two dozen states have enacted similar measures. Now, the Arkansas bill defines social transitioning as any act in which a minor adopts a gender identity different from their biological sex, and that includes changing in clothing, pronouns, hairstyles, and name. Under the definition, a barber, teacher, or guidance counselor could face lawsuits for supporting a child's gender identity. Now, get this. So if your child, and again, do you need parental permission to get a haircut? I do not know. I don't remember that being a thing. Back when I was a teenager, you just go, oh, you know what happened back in the 70s, Dieter? So this was in the 80s, early 80s. Starnes, you know, I originally had the bowl cut for like all of my elementary school years. But come high school, I had the feathered. It was feathered. That part was right down the middle.
What?
Oh, yeah, I look good.
The feather?
Yeah, the feathered look. Yeah, you had your hair. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? I feel like I'm in alone on a desert.
Was it a male haircut?
Oh, it was a guy's haircut.
Okay.
But then the girls had like Farrah Fawcett hair. It was a lot of big hair going on back in that era. So all that to say is I'm not sure that moms or dads can really control what kind of a haircut their kids get. You know, when you're going to the barber shop and the kid shows up alone and the kid wants a man. I mean, what do you go up if you're a girl and you identify as a boy? I want a man's haircut, please.
I'll take the pixie bob.
The pixie what?
The pixie bob.
Is that what Tinkerbell has?
The timeless pixie bob hairstyle. I don't know. Todd, I've been trying to Google and do some research for this topic on what is actually a non-binary haircut. And I'm confused. Like, is it a mullet? Because now girls have mullets, but guys traditionally have mullets.
I will say this about the hair. And again, this was an issue back when I was in school. We had a situation involving what we thought was we didn't know what to call it back in the day, but it was a transgenderism. I mean, this is back when I was a kid, and we had some teenager walking around with, like, hair, grew his hair out down to the wazoo, and was wearing, like, all this leather and boots, and we were like, oh, my God, he's, like, transitioning or something. I mean, that wasn't even a word back then, but it turned out he was actually cool. He was a heavy metal artist, mm-hmm. So it turned out he wasn't transitioning. He was just playing the role.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So this is really interesting. I'm just confused about the bill. It seems like we're getting in the weeds, a bit invasive, that we're now trying to decide whether these haircuts are androgynous. That's another word they use here. Like, you could get an androgynous haircut, which is not conforming to the masculine or the feminine.
They're going after the wrong people with scissors here. I think you want to go after the people that are trying to snip the body parts and not somebody's bangs.
Well, I think the Republican lawmaker is saying it starts with the snip of the bangs. And if these kids are getting their bangs snipped and they're confusing their sexes in the masculine, then that could lead slippery slope to other things being snipped below the belt.
I'm not sure about this one. I'm not sure about this one. I'm really not. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I feel bad for the barbers because, you know, now every time
they could be facing a $10,000 fine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just for giving a kid a short haircut. I mean, for example, Carrie Lake, right? You've seen her hair too. What are you laughing at?
We have the same haircut.
I would not say it's a masculine haircut, but she's got it very short and it's, you know, it's a do. Moving along.
You're in so much trouble for that one.
I'm just saying. All right, what's another one? Okay, I can't think right now. This story out of Allentown, Pennsylvania. This is your state, the Commonwealth. Pennsylvania police arrest a woman for an alleged hate crime hoax. Her name is Latarsha. Latarsha Brown. No, not Latasha. Latarsha. There's an R there. Latarsha Brown. She is a school board member and also works at City Hall. She reported one day that she arrived at her office in City Hall, and there on her desk, brace yourself, ladies and gentlemen, was a noose. Somebody
a
put
noose?
A noose.
Oh, hell
no. No, not nudes. Noose.
Like one of the ropes?
One of the ropes.
The ropes.
People were enraged. There were days of protest. People talking about what a racist City Hall it was in Allentown, PA. The police did their job, and they went in and interviewed everybody, and they had their little cotton swab. And they asked everybody for a little swish of the swab.
Saliva.
Took everybody's DNA. Lo and behold, guess what happened? The saliva belonged to Latarsha.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Latarsha. She did it.
Latarsha.
Latarsha.
Was going to hang herself.
With a teeny tiny noose. I think she could have hung her pinky. Maybe. Maybe. It was not a large noose.
Was she screaming, this is racism?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have been down this path before. So, anyway, it was, she's facing all these charges. You know what she's not facing a charge with, a charge of, though? Hate crime violation. Now, keep in mind, if somebody had actually configured a noose the size of her pinky toe and had placed it on her desk, that person would have been charged with hate crimes. They could have spent years, decades in prison.
I mean, yeah, of course.
But LaTarsha, she faked a hate crime. And it just seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, and maybe I'm overstating the case here, but it seems to me that if you're going out there and you're faking a hate crime, and how many times have we seen this, right? Bubba Wallace with the noose in the garage that turned out to be a door handle, Juicy Smollett going out at 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a snowstorm with two Nigerian brothers because he had a hankering for a tuna fish sandwich. You know, that was code for something.
The brothers?
Something about there. Yeah. I don't think he was really wanting a tuna melt.
Something was
going on there.
Yeah.
Something was going on. So you got Juicy Smollett. You've got...
The list goes on.
It goes on and on and on. Nobody's ever held accountable. Nobody. Mm-hmm. I mean, all you know what breaks loose in the mainstream media. I mean, look at Juicy.
Oh, Ben Crump was already holding. Oh. He was already on his way to Pennsylvania to hold a protest. Al Sharpton already got the call. They were all there.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Every single time, and no one is held accountable. So I say, you know, it would be nice if we could have legislation, just federal legislation. Congress could pass a law saying, you know what, you fake a hate crime, then you get charged with a hate crime, and see how quickly that stops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, it's disgusting is what it is, because they know that race divides this nation, and it just sickens me when they do this kind of nonsense. By the way, I heard, speaking of race, in Memphis, Tennessee, one of the school board is pretty much all black except for one white chick, and then you've got it's all female except for two dudes, right? So basically the school board, a majority black women. A majority of black women in Memphis are leading the school district.
That's right.
Over 70% of the children cannot read in Memphis. Am I correct?
Memphis.
Thank you.
Memphis.
I thought I got that.
There
Memphis.
Isn't an R there.
Sorry, I was pronouncing it phonetically.
Yeah, the kids can't read. 8 out of 10 of them can't do math.
I've been working on Hooked on Phonics, so... So they can't read, they can't write, they can't do anything, right? And so anyway, they're having a big hullabaloo about this. And now I understand because of the school board has hired a public relations firm, which, again, led by a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured out the problem. It's racism.
Yeah, of course. Well, and
the problem is race.
To give a little bit of context, the school system in Memphis, it's the largest school system in the state of Tennessee. So it's a massive school district. It's so bad that the state of Tennessee, Governor Bill Lee, the governor of this Republican state.
A white guy.
They're coming in to run the public schools.
Because the kids
can't
they're
read.
Illiterate.
So because the governor and the state legislature, the state is having to step in, and the state just so happens to be composed of more white lawmakers than black lawmakers. They believe that this is racism, that they would be coming in and they would be undercutting the female majority makeup of this school board, these black women.
And in fairness, is it fair to say that even some of the school board members can't read or write?
That would also be a correct assumption.
Okay. I'm just all that to say that people love to play the race card,
mm-hmm.
because they know it always works. I think those days are over. I really do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Very happy to have you with us. I want to go to the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, our great pal, the founder of one of the most important organizations in America. I'm talking about Timothy Plan, timothyplan.com. Art Alley. Art, hope you're doing well today.
Man, Todd, every time you do this, I just wish I had a tape recording so I could record all these things and tell people the nice things you're saying. I'm doing fine. It is always good to be with you, my friend.
Art, if you'd like, I could record your, like, voicemail message, yeah. And, like, this is the great Art Alley.
Yeah, I tried to tell these people at the office they ain't buying it, so maybe if it came to you, it'd be good.
I have the same problem here with my crew, so maybe we could help each other out here.
All right, maybe we could balance it out.
You know, Art, we've been talking for a long time now about Timothy Plan and the ministry of Timothy Plan and helping people invest biblically. And the more I think about it, and the more that we have companies come on and want to become partners and sponsors, I've realized that we really almost have this underground economy going, where people of faith and people who share conservative viewpoints are now doing business with banks like Old Glory Bank, or they're using Timothy Plan to kind of root out these companies that are actually funding the very things that we stand opposed to as Christians.
Amen, man. I think there is an awakening happening, and I'm just seeing it, and it's encouraging, and I see you're seeing the same thing. This is good, good, long overdue, but finally good.
So let's talk about this, because, again, Timothy Plan, we have so many new listeners. We just launched in Houston, Texas, also in Winchester, Virginia, and folks may not be familiar with the ministry of Timothy Plan.
Oh, wow. That's good, man. You're expanding. You want me just to give a nutshell summary?
Yeah, let's explain what Timothy Plan does. And again, folks, the website address, timothyplan.com.
Well, Todd, as soon as I figure out what we're doing, I'll let you know. No, I'm kidding. We are a mutual fund family, like every other mutual fund in the industry. We have 19 different funds, different assets. We are just like all of them, with one major exception. We will not invest one penny of shareholders' money in any corporation that is, for lack of a better term, pursuing an unholy agenda. And what I mean by that, there are corporate people that are funding abortion and pornography. It all blends together into LGBTQ plus agendas and transgender. It just goes on and on and on. It's really one big, massive black ball. And why corporations who have a good product, they sell a good product, get involved in promoting these unholy agendas is just beyond me, other than an understanding that we are in a spiritual war. There is the dark side and the light side, and some of them are gone on the dark side. And if they are, we will not own their stock for any of our shareholders.
Art, we got a call from a listener, Amber, and she had a question for you. She said, Todd, could you please ask Art, how do we invest in companies we agree with? So many companies do not agree with our values morally.
Well, I don't know about agree with, because nobody's going to always agree with everybody, but just call us. We'll let you know. If you have a concern about a company, call us. We'll let you know if they fail our basic screens. But we are biblically responsible. I want to always make that clear. And Scripture is clear. There is none righteous. None. Only Christ was righteous. But there's a difference, Todd, and you and I talked about this, between companies that are passively unrighteous and those that are actually pursuing an unholy agenda. Those are the ones we will not own. Call us. Call our number. We'll let you know. Tell us what companies you're interested in, or just call us and ask about Timothy Plan.
And that number, again, 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM, T-I-M, PLAN. Or you can go to timothyplan.com, and it is so simple. And they're going to be talking to a real human being when they call Timothy Plan.
No computers will answer our phone as long as Art Alley is alive. So it's a very pleasant situation. Yeah, we will answer, and we will connect you with people that can answer your questions and send you any information you need.
Art?
That's the ministry we're in.
Art, well, God bless you, and we're coming up on the top of the hour break here. And again, folks, I would encourage you to go and read Art's incredible story. What an incredible testimony this man has, and what an incredible ministry he's providing for the entire nation, and especially all of you that are looking to invest. Art is going to show you, Art and his team are going to show you how to invest and be biblically responsible in your investing. Art, got to leave it there, my friend. Always good hearing from you.
Oh, man. Same you. God bless.
All right. God bless you. The Great Art Alley, Timothy Plan. That's timothyplan.com. Go check it out. There's a lot of great information there. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, Hour 3. Coming up, we've got Caitlin Bennett. She has one of the funniest videos. It's really sort of sad, to be honest with you. She went down to spring break, and she interviewed the children. And many of these are college kids, and testing their knowledge on all things related to American history. And it's really quite shocking when you hear some of the things that the children don't know. Let's take a listen.
Who did the colonists fight in the Revolutionary War?
Oh, God. In the Revolutionary War?
It was, I don't know if this is right. I mean, it sounds so stupid. Was it the Spanish? Wait, what are your majors?
Business. Biology.
Okay. Elementary education.
Oh.
What shape is the U.S. Pentagon building?
Isn't it just a square?
How many U.S. senators are there?
Six, seven.
How many amendments are in the Bill of Rights?
There's a lot. I know 17.
Who won the Civil War?
It's East or West, right?
Well, it's the Civil War, so it's the civilians versus whoever was in power. How many justices are on the Supreme Court?
Justices? Mm-hmm. So, like when you say that, like you mean like the FBI?
Who was on the $100 bill?
Oh, I know that.
Abraham Lincoln?
Nope.
Abraham Lincoln.
Come on, bro.
That's the First Amendment. What's the second?
Right to vote.
Name three states that border Canada. We'll just do one per person.
Asia.
I didn't know Canada had a border.
That's the future of our country, ladies and gentlemen. The future of our country.
Those are future presidents, future senators.
There's a future Jasmine Crockett in there somewhere.
Definitely.
So, first of all, I had a chance to talk to Caitlin about this, and she's going to join us a little bit later. But here's what gets me. I think these kids were mostly, by and large, sober. So they were not a couple of margaritas in or mimosas. Is that what the young people are drinking these days, the margaritas?
Sure. On spring break.
The mimosas.
Yeah. Well, sure.
I don't think many of them are drinking Baptist martinis.
No. So I think this is to the last hour of the program where we're talking about our failing public school districts. This is what happens when Johnny, Mary, I'm just throwing out names, can't read past the third grade. So if you can't read in a lot of our public schools, and this is not just a Memphis, this is a nationwide issue.
Oh, this is nationwide.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's why the Department of Education has been such an epic failure. If you can't read past the third grade, how are you going to read your civics classes? And that's why you have these spring breakers that are in college. They end up on the beach, and then they're just asked basic things about our government, and they don't know how to answer it. You know, we could blame our universities, and there's plenty of blame to go around there, but it starts at grade three, reading past the third grade. And this is the result of it.
You see, I blame parents. I know that my mom made sure that I knew how to read before I went to school, right? Before I started first grade, you know, I knew how to read. And I remember when I was a child, this was back before Snow White was black, that when we would get these Disney, my mom enrolled in the Disney Book of the Month Club. And so every month we would get a brand new Disney storybook. And it went from, you know, mom reading the storybooks to me learning how to read the storybooks, right? So you teach your kid how to read. You get your kid prepared to go to school. And I think when you look at the numbers, a massive number of parents are just not doing their job. You know, their idea is we pay taxes, we have schools, and it's the school's responsibility to educate my kid. I'm just going to sit here and watch The Real Housewives.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's what happens when big government and big education is raising these kids, like acting like their parents and their nannies. You know, you remember the Scholastic magazines?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a long time ago.
I would get those, and they would arrive at my parents' house, and my mom would allow us to circle with a red pen the books that we wanted to read, and then my mom would order them. And to your point, Todd, I think I was able to read before I also went into the first grade. Like kindergarten, I was already privy to a lot of these phonetic classes that I would end up learning and taking. And I think, yeah, I 100% agree with you. I also think that the whole spring break culture in this society, and that's a whole nother conversation for another time, where we mainstream our kids. Can you imagine these parents? You're spending thousands of dollars for your kids to go to these colleges in America. In every April or every March, spring break rolls around and you send them and you're footing the bill to go to these Panama cities, Destin, Florida, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, to allow your kid to get wasted on the beach. And God forbid your kid's watching, or you're watching the television at night with you and your husband, knowing your kid's in Panama City, and they end up on the evening news because they don't know the fourth president of the United States. I mean, parents, we have to rethink spring break. Did they ever send you down to spring break, Todd? Have you done spring break properly?
I've done it the Baptist way. And, you know, it's like Liberty University, their entire student body is out rebuilding a country right now. That's
right.
How they do their spring
mission
break.
Trips, yeah.
I want to read to you the New York Post. This is not some sort of a cheap paperback romance novel. This is from today's New York Post. Are you ready for this? We needed music for this. Can you, you know what? Find some Barry White, Baby Love Making Music. I know that's inappropriate for this age genre, but bear with me for just a moment. This is absolute insanity from the New York Post. Again, to your point, talking about how insane a spring break has, because back in the day, you go down to the beach, have a party, you know, just goof around and then go back to school. You would not do what these kids are doing now, which would make, it's kind of like Freaknik, kinds of things.
It would make the Jersey Shore blush. And we know what the Jersey Shore and what happened in that.
Oh, is that Snoopy?
Yeah, Snooki.
Snooki, I was close.
Yeah, it makes Snooki blush what these spring breakers are doing, Todd, on the beaches of Panama City, Destin, Florida.
You know who I feel? I feel bad for the good people of the Gulf Coast, and specifically the Redneck Riviera.
Oh.
No. This is the actual true southern part of the Gulf of America.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is like South New York. I'm talking about the good, decent southern people of America. This is the New York Post, today's edition, describing what's happening in Panama City Beach, Florida. The aromas of weed and fruit-scented tobacco wafted above the sea of sweaty spring breakers packed onto the deck at Harpoon Harry's in Panama City Beach, Florida. Tennessee frat boys lifted two bikini-wearing 20-somethings under their shoulders, while a pink-haired Gen Z-er waved a Coors Light as a man twerked on all fours to a bass-heavy remix of Van Halen's Panama. Jeezaloo. That's quite the scene they're setting there. Across the dance floor, mustachioed Timothy Chalamet lookalike's eyes rolled back under his bucket hat, while a bouncer closed up the bathroom door due to a vomiting incident.
And that's just day one of spring break.
That's just day one.
Yeah, they go on, they do spring break for at least 4 or 5 days.
We had to take five knives today, a bulletproof vest clad security guard told the Post. Here's the problem. You're sending your good little church going Southern Baptist
to the University of Tennessee.
To the University of Tennessee. And the first chance they get, they're on I-75. And they're doing 125 miles an hour to the Florida Gulf Coast.
Mm-hmm. To twerk upside down with a pink-haired girl chugging a Coors Light.
Well, you hope it's a girl.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and the crazy thing is it's mainstream. Like, good, wholesome parents, they just know that their kid, you send them to school, send them to a good SEC, an Auburn, an Oxford, Ole Miss, and they just send them right on down to spring break.
It's Jersey Shore on crack.
Yeah.
That's how they're describing it. Nobody cares, and everyone's down to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. And according to this photograph, they are. That's kind of, you know, this one girl is wearing what, if many of you might remember, the late, great Phyllis Diller, and she wore the frilly stuff. That's exactly what this young lady is wearing right now.
Mm.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
My goodness. A lot of twerking going on. You know, I tried that once and threw out my back. I don't recommend it.
It's not easy.
Let's go to Scott listening to us on KELY, our great friends in the Nevada Talk Network. Scott, I understand you're a retired teacher.
No, my wife is a retired teacher, and I'm actually on the main turnpike heading southbound. I used to listen to you on LOB, but of course I'm listening to the Nevada station. We miss you up here.
Well, we miss you guys too.
Well, my wife is a retired teacher, and I was just going to mention that, you know, years before they started doing all this Common Core nonsense and the government took over everything, the teachers used to actually have their curriculum set so that they would really encourage kids to learn, and they did an international type of program where each of the classrooms would select a specific country. They would then run with it. So they learned the history, the geography, they used the mathematics in it, they brought in the English, they brought in every aspect of education, and I'll tell you what, these kids would run off the bus to get into school to learn, and these kids were accelerating, but then of course, the government decided, oh no, you need to assess, you need to evaluate, you need to spend an inordinate amount of time to make sure that we get all the information on these kids and see how well they're doing. And by the way, if they don't, it's your fault. And we're going to make sure that you pay the price and we might just fire you. And that's the nonsense that's happened with the stupid National Education Association. And it's just gone from horrible to extremely worse ever since it came into existence under Jimmy Carter.
You know, Scott, I went to a public school, and I was blessed with some good teachers. There was a lot of local involvement. Moms and dads were involved in the school system, and it was, you know, you go to everybody, you know, went to church together. Everybody kind of knew each other, and if there was a problem, you better believe the teachers were telling mom and dad, or mom and dad already knew about it. But the reality is, even though I had a great American history teacher, but that guy had a big old thing of Tennessee sipping whiskey in his desk. And the longer the class went on, the more entertaining those classes got. But I learned a lot from that guy.
Well, see, that's the thing. And you know what? You hit the nail on the head too. It has a lot to do with parenting or the lack thereof. And I know. Now, my parents weren't as involved when I was going to school, but I made sure when I did it with my kids, I even went to the student-teacher conference with my boys, and I'm sitting there with them, and I'd look right at them, and I'd look at her, and I'd say, guys, she's the authority in the class. You have every right to reprimand them in any way possible that you feel fit to make sure that this kid is going to be paying attention and respect you. And you know what they actually said? I was, oh, no, Mr. Olson, oh, no, they're wonderful, oh, it's almost they're thinking, what's wrong with this parent? But that's the mindset.
Mm.
But you know what? My kids told the mark, and they are awesome kids.
Did you let him go to spring break?
Never. No, they weren't even interested in that, you know, which is interesting. no, they pretty much hung around and they learned to do stuff. But we used to go out into the woods and, you know, I spent time with them. And here in New England, when you go out in the woods, you've got all of these beautiful stone walls. And I would sit there with them and explain how they were, you know, why they were there and what happened historically. And these kids, it's kind of funny because my kids actually learned about the old roads in New England that are now just paths, you know, that used to be the highways and the byways and so on and so forth. Huh. So they really got a good education in that regard.
Well, Scott, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. You call WLOB and tell them that you want the show back on the station. And I know we've got a lot of folks up there that are missing us, and we miss you guys.
Thank you very much, and God bless you.
All right, God bless you. There's Scott in Maine listening to us on a Nevada Talk radio station. That's pretty cool. Here's the quote from the New York Post. Cocaine, weed, Molly everywhere. They'll take Molly, and they'll go to the party. Cocaine they'll do in the bathroom. Weed they're going to smoke on the balcony. I think that's, you know, three of the four food groups at spring break. Mm-hmm. It really makes you wonder, I mean, when did spring break turn this wild? Has it always been that way?
I mean, I've only known spring break to be that crazy, so I don't know. You'll have to ask our older listeners about that. But that checks. Like, that is very consistent with the spring break experience.
All right.
And the crazy thing is they bring it right back to their dorm rooms. Like, what happens in spring break does not always stay at a beach in Panama City, Florida.
Yeah, especially 9 months later.
Right.
901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Distinguished members of the committee, I want to say thank you very, very much for giving me the privilege of coming.
I'm an American Jew.
Sorry about that. The committee will come back to order, and Mr. Huckabee, please proceed.
I will mark them down undecided, Senator.
Yeah. Always has a clever line there. That's Governor Mike Huckabee, our next ambassador to Israel. And those screeching magpies in the background happen to be members of Code Pink. That's that women's group. I don't know what they're squawking about. But anyway, they were hauled out, and all is well that ends well. Wow. Pam Bondi, very upset at Jasmine Crockett. And I'm just curious, you folks in Texas, I mean, you've got Jasmine Crockett out there now making fun of your governor, calling him Hot Wheels, right? Governor Hot Wheels. Pam, she's also calling for people to literally attack Senator Ted Cruz. Cut number one, please.
Your words have consequences. And what happened after she said that about Elon Musk, she's a Texan in her own home state. After she said that, this morning, three explosive devices were found in Austin, Texas. So she needs to unequivocally denounce the violence. She must apologize immediately, not only to all Texans, but to our country, to the American shareholders of Tesla, because she is promoting violence.
Well, no doubt about that. And Jasmine Crockett also mocking the governor of Texas. My question, at what point do the Republicans say, this woman's got to go? It's time to get rid of Jasmine Crockett. She needs to be expelled from the Congress. She needs to be censured. 901-260-5926, our number. What say you, America? That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, want to play some audio here. Scott Jennings bringing some sanity to all of this chaos surrounding the Signal text messaging. Cut number 8, please.
It's a shocking thing, and you know they've admitted that it was a mistake and admitted that it's authentic, so they're owning up to it. I think they're still, based on what I've heard tonight, trying to figure out how it happened. I'm not sure the National Security Advisor Walls even knows Goldberg. In fact, I don't believe he knows him and has never met him. I did learn a few things in some of my conversations, if you're interested. One is that the signal program was preloaded on a number of devices and agency computers in this circuit when they got there. So in their view, it was already in use. Number two, in some of the messages, they talk about needing to go to the high side computers, which is the classified system. So they clearly were knowing there was a line on what you could discuss in a chat like this versus classified system. Number three, there is a dispute over whether the term war plans is being exaggerated. And number four, look, I love the policy. It's well executed. You've got a thoughtful policy discussion going on. And we did what the Biden administration would not do, stop these people from harassing our shipping lanes and our boats and our Navy. So good on the Trump administration for reversing a bad policy.
And again, if you want to have a conversation about keeping our troops safe, keeping our people safe, let's have that conversation. Let's talk about the policy failures that led to the 13 Marines getting killed in Afghanistan and that botched evacuation of Kabul. Let's have that conversation. I'd be more than willing to have that conversation. And I'm happy to have this conversation. The reality is a mistake was made. The mistake is being dealt with. And there you go. Nobody was harmed. No military plans or secrets were released. Nobody was put in harm's way. But if you want to talk about those security failures, let's talk about Hillary Clinton. Let's talk about her failed Benghazi policies that led to the deaths of a U.S. ambassador there, along with four other American citizens and dozens of people that were injured. But they don't want to have those conversations. The Democrats don't want to have those conversations. So now Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, and this guy is a complete sleazeball. And I gave him props for doing the right thing by not releasing the information when he realized that he was on this text exchange that he should not have been on. But now Jeffrey Goldberg is having a change of heart about this. First of all, the idea, he's now saying, disputing the idea, there was nothing classified that was discussed in the text message exchanges. Cut 16.
Saying that nobody was texting war plans, given you were privy to this group chat. Is that how you saw it?
No, that's a lie. He was texting war plans. He was texting attack plans. When targets were going to be targeted, how they were going to be targeted, who was at the targets, when the next sequence of attacks were happening. I didn't publish this, and I continue not to publish it, because it felt like it was too confidential, too technical, and I worry, honestly, that sharing that kind of information in public could endanger American military personnel. But no, they were plans for the attack. They were texted before the attack.
All right, so that was Jeffrey Goldberg last night. So now Jeffrey Goldberg says that he is considering whether or not he should release more of the chat transcripts. So we'll see how all this plays out. It just seems to me that if you're on the Trump team, that the best response and the only response should always be honesty. Admit you made a mistake and let's move on. We'll see how all that plays out. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Some important Medicare news. Doge Chief Elon Musk now saying all government spending up for review, all of it. The House plans to cut $800 million in health care costs. These cuts, according to Rob Finnerty from Newsmax, could hit Medicare and Medicaid. And now Rob is on Newsmax tonight revealing the real Medicare crisis. You got to watch this, folks. Over 65 million people depend on Medicare, and Rob Finnerty says hardworking Americans that paid for it should get their full medical coverage. This week in his series, Medicare in Crisis, Rob Finnerty looks at Medicare and why it faces bankruptcy. Big changes ahead for Medicare, which is why you need to watch Rob tonight. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems or download the free Newsmax app on your phone right now. Millions are switching to Newsmax because we're fighting for you. one of the most interesting videos on X yesterday, last night. It's a mom, and this mom has, and she's got a multiple kids. I think, I don't know how many kids, but she has several kids. Anyway, she's got one that's 7 years old. And I want you to go back in time to when your child was 7 years old. What are some of the things that you did to help build confidence in your child? So this mom parked in front of the Chick-fil-A, and she told her 7-year-old son to go in and order Chick-fil-A all by himself. This is really cool. Take a listen.
I just read Anxious Generation, and at the end they have this challenge where they're like, we challenge you to like let your kid do something that without a parent, like go do something age appropriate on their own, so it can build confidence for them. So all of my kids came up with an idea that they wanted to do, that they could do alone. So Wells's idea is to go to Chick-fil-A and order some dinner. I gave him some money, and just we rehearsed like what to say, and like if anyone gives him a hard time to ask for the manager. Because Locke, when he was maybe 10, he went in to get some milk for me. I was like in the car with the baby, and I just gave him my card and said go get some milk, and they sent him back. The worst part is I can't watch, because I can see like if he was gonna go do something confidently, I was in there, I could see him ordering. Or even if the blinds weren't shut and I could just peek in and see him, like, okay, he's next in line, he's got this. No. No phone. No way to communicate with me. I can't see if he's in trouble. Oh my gosh, he did it! Hey!
Just gave it to me, yeah.
They just served you?
Yeah. And then, yeah.
You got your Happy Meal, and
he gave me some money.
Okay.
I want to do that again.
Really?
Yeah, that is so fun.
Do you feel like that builds confidence?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, a little nervous?
Yeah. Like, my legs are still shivering.
Really?
But, yeah. That was so fun.
Awesome. You did so, I'm so proud of you. Way to go.
So, we got the cup in a big, big cup.
Okay.
And then I got...
Oh, you upgraded me?
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you. I raised you right. Okay, let's eat.
Wow. I love this story. And it reminded me of the time when I was a kid and I went in to get my mom's cigarettes and tab. Back in the day.
A little different.
It's a rite of passage.
It was confidence building, though, for little Todd to go buy cigarettes for his mom.
And tab. It's and AIDS. She loved the AIDS candy. So that's... It was a thing back in the day.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people are complaining about this. They're saying she's a bad mom because... the world is too dangerous to let your child do something like that. One guy writing, never take your eyes off your child in today's society. There are much better ways to build confidence without risking your own child's life. Okay, dude, lighten up. It's Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
All right, come on.
You know, there was this study that came out a couple months ago, and we might have talked about this on your show, but it found that most adults between the age category of 18 to 24, admit that they suffer from something called menu anxiety, which is real, where they feel uncomfortable going in as young adults. I mean, we're talking 18 to 24 years old, and when they're dining out, they get so anxious, they start getting manic. They start sweating, panting. I mean, foaming at the mouth because they're too scared to order from a menu. And so I think what this mom is doing is, A, I mean, she is building confidence in a kid to go up to a stranger, an adult. Like, anybody remembers that as a kid. It was scary. But you're also going to prevent your kid from having menu anxiety, when they're a freaking 18-year-old.
I don't think that. Is that a thing?
Yeah, no, 100%. I could speak on this, not personally, because I don't have menu anxiety, but like a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to go in there and do it like face-to-face. I'd rather like phone in or do it on an app.
Oh, is that what happens when you like go to the Cheesecake Factory and you have 30-page menu and you can't figure out what to order? Is that what they're talking about?
A little bit of both.
Menu anxiety.
Yeah.
I was just curious. So I'm really relating to some of these people. Some guy says, as kids in the 60s and 70s, we were kicked out of the house until 5 o'clock at night. We played in fields, built forts, rode bikes everywhere, played board games in friends' homes. My mom never knew where I was, but knew I had the good sense to take care of myself. I came home every day to a loving home and a good home-cooked meal.
Mm.
Wow. Good for you, sir. Someone said, good Lord, how things have changed. I grew up in the era when kids went to the local store to pick up cigarettes and soda for mom. Yes, thank you. I thought it was just me, but no, it's true. What about you folks? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Did this mom do the right thing here? I mean, she's getting some blowback here on social media. People are saying that she put her child in danger.
By what? Asking for a number one at Chick-fil-A? Okay.
Did you want to supersize that, pal?
Coming from the same parents that probably have their kid on social media, Instagram at age 4. You know, I feel like, so my parents just made me do every recital possible. And also, like, it was not an option. Like, any time we memorized a passage of the Bible, we had to get up in front of the church to recite it to everybody. So, like, by the time I was a functioning 18-year-old, like, it would have been nothing for me to walk in and order something. Yeah, you've got to treat these kids like they're going to be adults, because they absolutely will. Just give them 10 years.
Someone said, I hope the helicopter parents in this thread don't actually have kids. It's true. One guy says, apparently a lot of our mothers smoked cigarettes back in the 70s. Most of these are about cigarettes. Oh, here we go. Deb says, this seems like child endangerment to me. Child trafficking is real. No. Hard no. All right. No Chick-fil-A for you, Deb. Jeez, Lou. But again, you could tell the mom she was nervous. She was so excited for her child, but she wanted her child to succeed. And imagine the confidence this little fella got just by going into a Chick-fil-A and ordering at the age of, 7 years old?
Yeah, it's incredible. What a neat story.
Truth Patriot writes, I'm all for teaching independence and confidence building, but never send your child alone somewhere that you don't have eyes on them at all times. Or she was in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's not like she's allowing her kid to go on a blind date, bro.
The kid's going to get trampled by the Chick-fil-A cows. By the way, why did they get rid of the Chick-fil-A cows?
Did they get rid of the Chick-fil-A cows?
Why did they do that? And also the chicken salad sandwich. What's wrong? They're going woke, I'm telling you. They're going woke. And someone writing in that actually in Japan, they actually have a reality TV show, and it's on Netflix, and you can watch toddlers as they venture out to run errands on their own for the very first time. That's a little creepy.
That's creepy.
That's a little creepy.
Now we're going too far.
They always take it. There's always good intention, and then it just goes, the next thing you know, your kid's getting a bowl cut. That's terrible. Oh, geez, Alou. Anyway, good for you guys. Good for you moms and dads. And you know, yeah, there's a lot of bad out there. But if you teach your kids right from wrong, you teach them a good dose of common sense, they're going to be okay. They're going to be just fine. The kids are going to be okay. By the way, some breaking news. Congressman Randy Weber has just introduced a resolution to censure Jasmine Crockett. This after she mocked the governor for being in a wheelchair. Called him Governor Hot Wheels. Also this morning, she beat up a journalist that was tied to Laura Loomer. Of all the people you want to punch, that's not the person. So now Laura Loomer's person is really upset. They're calling for her to be expelled from Congress. You wonder, what do you have to do to get kicked out of Congress?
Not much. You can do a lot. Pardon. I mean, they just tried to kind of bring up this whole discussion with Rep. Al Green and the cane. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, it seems like years ago.
Yeah, I mean, so they couldn't even get him censured. So this whole discussion of censuring this congresswoman, I think, is just political grandstanding, to be honest. But I don't know. She just seems very unhinged. But I don't know that a censure in Congress is going to rein this woman back.
I'm curious to know. She's not that old. And I'm curious to know how she is worth more than $9 million right now. How is that possible? There's so much corruption, so much going on. She makes $174,000 a year. How did that morph into $9 million in worth? Mm. We've got, folks, I am telling you, there is so much grift going on right now. The grifting in Congress is insane. And she's out there, you know, saying all of this stuff about Ted Cruz and Elon Musk. It's unbelievable. $174,000 a year, and she's got a $2 million townhouse in Dallas. No telling what she's got in Washington, D.C. She also owns a $1.5 million lakefront cabin in Galveston and also a $1.5 million loft in Austin, Texas. All that on $174,000 a year. Mm-hmm. She must not be eating anything.
She must have went to the Nancy Pelosi School of Business, doing very well.
I wonder how much she spends on the eyelashes. Those are some pretty severe eyelashes. I'm just saying, it's a lot. Jeez, Lou. All right, we'll keep you updated on that tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to break down this Signal controversy. Again, nobody's getting fired. Donald Trump is not getting rid of Pete Hegseth. Michael Waltz, if anybody's going to get whacked, it's Michael Waltz, but Trump says he's good. He's learned his lesson. He went to the woodshed, so he's going to be okay. Maybe the staffer, the unnamed staffer, gets the heave-ho. We will keep you updated on that. We're going to be talking about all of that tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show, so be sure to tune in and watch. Also, want to remind you, head over to our website right now, toddsterns.com. We are raising money. We're wrapping things up on Friday. Our efforts to feed poor children, hungry children, you can help us out by going to toddsterns.com. Click on our Feed Their Future banner. Our goal, $20,000, and we need your help. It's possible. It's possible we might be able to hit that big mark this week, but it's going to take all hands on deck to get out there and do it. We're going to be giving out big shout-outs tomorrow to a lot of our most recent donors, and that's on tomorrow's program. So go ahead and make your donation right now, toddsterns.com, food for the poor. Folks, been a lot of fun, a lot of crazy news today. We're going to be following all of the breaking news developments, and we'll keep you updated on our website, toddsterns.com. All right, folks, get out there. Have a good one. You be good, America.